morning and welcome to our service this morning. It is good to be here. Welcome our visitors. Glad to have you here with us. Today is Mother's Day, and if I would let myself, I could think back on a lot of things that happened in my childhood that my mother tried to teach me, and I probably didn't listen as well as I should have. But so today, children, you have a chance to do something that I didn't, and that is to listen always. I mean, it's very easy, isn't it, just to listen. But we all have the opportunity, we all have mothers, and we all have the opportunity today, if our mother is alive, to go to her and say thank you. Thank you to our mothers. And I'd like to this morning just to give a tribute to our godly mothers here and out there, to bless you for your unselfish love and devotion that you give to your husband, to your family, to your children. You know, even though you're not perfect, you don't need to be. You inspire others to be and give their best, to be their best and to give their best as you serve your family and God. You know, the more you serve to the mothers, the more you are blessed by your husband and family, and the more we as husbands and family appreciate our mothers, the more they want to serve. You see that recipient thing, that recipient love? The more the mothers, or the more we as husbands appreciate our wives, the mothers of our children, the more it inspires them to serve others. So this morning, I'd like to read Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31. Maybe we could all stand for the reading of the scripture. Let's stand. Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from far. She arises also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands to the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. And this is the words that the husband says to her, his wife. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands. Let her own works praise her in the gates. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Holy Eternal Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you again for the privilege of worshiping you collectively this morning here. Father, would you be glorified this morning? Would you bless our mothers this morning, the godly mothers among us that have children that keep them sometimes so busy that they hardly know which end is up. But Lord, we pray that you would grant them strength and grace, grant them a heart that is willing to serve, and we thank you for their willingness to serve. We thank you for their love and their beauty. We thank you for their unselfish giving of themselves. So Lord, would you bless the message this morning according to your will. May the Holy Spirit be here, anointing our lips, our mind, our hearts with your grace and with your strength to go forth to serve you more fully from this day forward. Bless our brethren that are not here. Bless Joe as he's in Greenville this morning preaching. Would you give him much grace and wisdom? Bless Dwight as he's preaching in Florida. May thy spirit rest upon them and give them peace and joy. And would you be glorified again? Be with us now. Guide and direct us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So as we look at mothers, a mother can do untold good or harm to her family. You as a mother hold in your hands the power to bless your family, to make your home a haven of rest, or a place of turmoil and constant fighting. That is in your power. This morning I'd like to look at two ladies in the scripture that even though God used them, even though God was able to, well, the New Testament says, gives the example of one as a very, very good example, and that is Sarah, Abraham's wife. She made some choices and made some decisions with Abraham's help, of course, that brought her a lot of grief. Brought her a lot of grief. And it brought a lot of turmoil in her family and her home. Genesis 16. Now I want to come back to Proverbs then, a little later on. But Genesis 16. Sarah decided that she, or the Lord, needed help in bringing about an heir for Abraham. God has been promising Abraham that he's going to give him a son. And Sarah was barren. She could not give him a son. And for years, I think it was like 25 years, God promised Abraham that he will give him a son that should be his heir. When Abraham was, I think, 75, he left Haran. And when he was about 89, I have his age right. No, he must have been a little younger than that, maybe 86. Sarah decided that they're getting kind of old. The Lord needs some help here. We're going to try to help the Lord bring about an heir. So she suggested that Abraham take Hagar for his wife and raise up a son that way. Genesis 16, verse 1. Sarai, Abraham's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abraham, "Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, and it may be that I obtain children by her. Abraham hearkened. Of course, Hagar had a child. She named him Ishmael. But as soon as she conceived, as soon as she was pregnant, she started despising Sarah. And Sarah felt this. Now, Sarah was the wife of Abraham, and Hagar was her mistress, was her slave. But the mistress started to elevate herself above Sarah because Sarah couldn't have children, and she could. And she decided she's better than him. So it brought disrespect into the home. It brought hate into their home in 4 and 5. It says here, her mistress was despised in her eyes, and Sarah said unto Abraham, my wrong be upon me. I have given my maid to thy bosom, and when she saw that she conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. So Sarah made a choice here, and her choice brought untold misery and turmoil into her home. It almost seemed like Sarah's life was consumed with suspicion and critical attitudes towards Hagar and her son. We can see that in Genesis 21 then, but we'll look at that a little later. Now, not only was their home affected, but the whole Jewish nation was affected. Verse 11, the angel of the Lord said unto her, Hagar, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. He will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. He shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. So, Sarah not only brought misery to her own home, but she also kind of brought misery upon the whole nation of Israel, because if I understand right, Ishmael's descendants are the Arabs? There's another word. What is it? Somebody help me out. I'm sorry? Muslim nation? But it's the Arab nations, I think, is which a lot of the, well, yeah, it's the Muslim nations. And they are still, today, they're still fighting one another. And today they still are reaping some of the repercussions of Sarah's decision back there. Maybe I shouldn't lay all that blame on Sarah. But she was the one that came up with it, with the idea. I think we can still see that result of that prophecy in verse 12 today. Okay, going to Genesis 21. After Isaac was born, verse 11 and 12. Genesis 21, verse 11 and 12. Actually, let's go back to verse 9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous to Abraham's sight because of his son. Verse 12. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous unto thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman, in all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. You know, not only did she did this bring a lot of misery and suspicion and hate into her home, but she put her husband Abraham through a tremendous hard thing here, in that he had to send away his own son. His own son. He had to put him out of the home. Later I want to come back and read what the New Testament says about Sarah. So I don't want to leave her with the thought that she was a total wicked woman. I don't want to do that. She was not. Genesis 27 was another one. Rebecca. Rebecca trying to finagle Jacob's blessing from his blind father resulted in a lot of misery in her home. She came up with the idea. She heard Isaac tell Esau that he needs to go out and get a deer or some venison and to bring it back, cook it, and bring it to me, and I will bless you after I eat. She heard Isaac tell Esau that, so she went and she remembered what the Lord said to her, that the younger shall serve the elder. And again, she thought the Lord needed help in bringing this about, because we were getting down to crunch time, and Isaac is going to say, Isaac is going to bless Esau. Wow, what are we going to do with this prophecy that the Lord has said? She loved Jacob more than Esau. And, of course, Isaac loved Esau more than Jacob. Verse 42. After she did what she did in bringing about Jacob's blessing by deceit, she, of course, you know the story. How Jacob went and got a goat. They killed it, and they put the goat's skin on him to make him appear and smell like Esau. Jacob, I think, forgot to disguise his voice because Isaac picked that up. But after all this stuff happened, verse 42 to 45, the result of this was the words of Esau, their elder son, was told unto Rebekah. She sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, proposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee thou unto Laban, my brother, to Haran. Tarry with him a few days, until thy brother's fury is turned away, until thy brother's anger is turned away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? So her finagling brought disruption and turned her home upside down. Her suggestion, what she had proposed to do and was carried out, brought hate to Esau. He hated his brother. Verse 41, Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my brother, father, are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. Rebekah was afraid that she will lose both Esau and Jacob. And that's exactly what happened. Let's read 46, the last verse of the chapter, and go over and on over into 28, verse 5. Jacob, again, was sent away from home, from his family, for his safety, but even that suggestion was was enveloped in deceit. Notice. From 42 to 45, Rebekah was talking to Jacob and telling him, go flee for your life because Esau, your brother, wants to kill you. Now, look what she said to Isaac. Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of the Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Benuel thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. And give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went. Did you notice? Rebekah had told Jacob he needs to flee for his life because Esau is going to kill him. But she told Isaac, I'm despairing of life if Jacob takes a wife from the land of the people of the land. We need to send him away to get a wife. And Isaac agreed to that. He also, I think, had that desire. But Rebekah did not tell Isaac that Esau was threatening to kill Jacob. Conniving. And again, I don't want to throw her under the bus either. But do you see the deceit that was going on caused all kinds of turmoil and problems in the home? Let's read this. Let's continue looking at this story. Verse 8 and 9. Let's look what Esau did then. Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had, and it gives these names. But I read of that Esau saw that, okay, Jacob was sent away so that he doesn't get a wife of the daughters of the land. So just to spite my father and my mother, I'm going to go and do it. And that's exactly what he did. Maybe they didn't consider, I just saw that it was Ishmael, but that was the thought that I got out of that verse 8. Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael. He would have went and got a wife from there. Maybe I'm looking at that wrong. But again, the deceit of Rebekah brought about in Esau's heart a spirit of rebellion because of that she was trying to rig this thing around in her own way. Number 5, Jacob lived with the threat of death hanging him over him for 20 some years. Jacob never knew, is Esau going to come over to the land of where he was living at and search him out, or is he going to let him in peace? When he started back, the Lord told him to come back to the land of Canaan. Esau did meet him, and he was struggled mightily with the fear and the unknown before he met Esau. So again, I'd like to ask us this morning, what is your home like because of your influence? What decisions are we making? And again, this is a Mother's Day, so I find it very difficult to talk to just as mothers, because fathers are responsible. The husband is responsible. I know that. But eventually the mothers will be responsible as well, eventually down the line. So in that line or wherever you're at, what are you doing this morning that is bringing peace and joy, or are you living a life of deceit and treachery that brings untold misery and heartache to your family? The choice is ours, really. The choice is yours. Let's go over to the New Testament. 1 Peter 3. I'd like to give the Bible's testimony of Sarah this morning. She was not an ungodly woman. She may have made some unwise choices, but she was not an ungodly woman. Just hold that 1 Peter 3, and I'd like to read you just a couple verses in Genesis 17. She was the mother of God's chosen people, the Israelites. Genesis 17, verse 16 through 21 says, "And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be the mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" And Abraham said unto God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." And God said, "Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, multiply him exceedingly. I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time next year." So she was the mother of God's people. She is used as an example of faithfulness, modesty, and submission in the New Testament. 1 Peter 3. Let's go back to that now. Verse 1 through 6. "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting of the hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in which is not corruptible, which is the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being subjection to their own husband, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as as long as you do well, and are not afraid of it with any amazement." So Sarah was not a woman with no principles. She had principles. She made some mistakes. She made some choices that were not good, and Abraham kind of went along with it. Let's go back to Proverbs 31. I have 11 points, and I probably could have had a lot more, but I have 11 points here that I want to quickly go through that and point out what a virtuous woman does and is. A virtuous woman is priceless. She is to be valued above all riches. A virtuous woman is pure, righteous, kind, good, A virtuous woman, Proverbs 12:4 says, a virtuous woman is a crown unto her husband. She that maketh ashamed is as rottenness to his bones. Proverbs 19:14, houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. So she is above price. You cannot buy a virtuous woman. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Husbands, have you considered the blessing that you have, that I have, that we have, that we have a trustworthy wife? Have you considered that this morning? Have you blessed the Lord for that? We don't have to worry that our wife is going to run around with somebody else. We don't have to worry about that she is going to turn up this evening and say, I hate you. I don't want to be your husband or wife anymore. The blessing of a trustworthy wife. There are many, many, many men out there that don't have that. There are many ladies out there that don't have a trustworthy man. The heart of a husband can trust in a godly wife. Bless the Lord for her. Bless her for that. You know, we get so used to this that it's hardly even a blessing to us anymore. Until something brings us real short, and we're reminded maybe somebody else had maybe we experience it. But there are people that don't have that. But a godly wife, the heart of her husband can safely trust in her. He has no need for spoil. He doesn't have to go out and find love somewhere else. He has it right here. And that is a tremendous blessing. You know, there's good in the heart of a godly wife toward her husband, toward her family, a mother. Number three. A godly woman is not a lazy woman. You know, a lazy person is basically a selfish person. And a selfish person is somebody that serves self. So let's keep that in mind, that a godly woman or godly man is not a lazy person. They are looking for what they can do for others, for their family, for their friends, for the ones around them. That is found in 13 and 14. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from far. I don't know what all these expressions mean and what the Proverbs writer had in mind here, but I can definitely understand the thought of seeking wool and flax, making things with her hands for others, and for that they it would almost seem like she takes wool and flax and makes material to make her clothes and those that she's responsible to. She's not a lazy person. She doesn't go to the fabric store and buys her yards and yards of material and makes her dress, but she makes it out of wool. Have you blessed the Lord for material this morning? makes life much, much, much easier. You have more time to serve others, right? Because you don't have to make your own material. A Jewish doctor in the concentration camp, now I wrote this down by memory. Howard Bean had it in his family worship book, in one of them. And he was talking about serving others. And then he gave this instance, and I don't remember all of it. I didn't have time to look it up. But if I remember correctly, this Jewish doctor in the concentration camp made this observation. Even though he was suffering cold, hunger, malnutrition, suffering all kinds of things, he made this observation that if he and those that would work for others or look after others share their food, what little they had, share their clothes, what little they had, and get their mind off of themselves, those people were not only happier, but they were much healthier than those that just lived for self and brought everything to them. And they had this mentality. All the food that they got, it was just for themselves. But the doctor said, as he and others shared their food, what little they had, they didn't get more than the others. As they shared their food, they got more good out of their food. And that to me is just amazing. And it's the principle of, I think it's just simply the principle of God blessing those that bless others, that live for others, not a selfish person. They were not only healthier and happier, but they were less prone to depression and feeling sorry for themselves. So where do we find ourselves this morning? Are we a sharing person, or are we a hoarding person? Are we a selfish person, or are we a person that blesses others? It's a challenge I like to take for myself as well. A virtuous woman is a visionary. Verse 14. She bringeth her food from afar. I think a virtuous woman can see what needs to be done to provide food for her family. You know, one thing I thought about is planning and planting a garden is a visionary. That is a visionary, especially in January and February, when everything is cold and wet and it's just nothing's green. You try to plant this garden. And yes, they do plant it. I don't know. My wife is one of the ones that every year I tell her she's crazy to go out there and plant peas in January. But every year they work. So she's a visionary in that area. And a virtuous woman can see what needs to be done to provide food for her family. And whatever else that needs to be done. A visionary or a godly, virtuous woman is not a wasteful woman either. She is saving and frugal. Someone has made the statement that some women, some ladies can put more food out the back door with a spoon than the husband can bring in with a scoop shovel in the front door. And I don't know, is that true or not? But I'm telling you, there are some ladies that are very wasteful. A virtuous woman is a careful, frugal woman, I think. Number five, she's up before daylight. That sometimes is kind of hard to do. But she's up before it's late. She's up and doing before it's late, whatever late is. You know, it's amazing how long some people can stay in bed in the morning. I remember one time it was in the middle of the summer, and I wanted to do a job for a lady, and I asked her, what time shall I try to be there? I told her I'd like to be there as early as I can. Oh, she said, first thing. I said, well, what is first thing? And she made this statement. Well, I don't get up till 9 or 9:30, and you can come any time after that. Well, I didn't want to tell her that I wanted to have my day about half over by that time, because it was warm and it was hot. And the longer you wait in the summer in the morning to start, the hotter it gets and the less you get done. And I don't know. Maybe she had a reason to sleep that late. I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt. But it says here that if I can lay my eyes on it, verse 15, she rises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She's not lazy. She doesn't continue to lay in bed when she needs to be up, whatever time that is. You may have a different schedule. That's okay. But let's get up when it's time to get up. She cooks and sews for those that she's responsible for. And again, that's found in verse 15. She giveth meat to her household. Some ladies like to cook, others don't. That's okay. But I'm sure that the ladies that don't like to cook, they find meals somewhere, somehow. And they do cook. That's commendable. Verse 20, it says, she stretches out her hand to the poor. She reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is kind to the people and the poor around her, meeting their needs as much as possible. This is a virtuous woman again. Verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She is prepared for the winter. She is prepared for those times that are lean times, when she has to make do. You know, there are times when money and food and whatever is not as plentiful as other times. And that's not a time to despair and just throw up our hands and say, what are we going to wear? What are we going to do? What are we going to eat? No, we make do. And that's what this virtuous lady was doing. She was not despairing because of winter. Winter is usually a slower time. She was prepared for that. So again, she was a visionary in that area. 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. You know, a virtuous woman is a wise woman, sharing what she needs to say, but not gossiping or spreading rumors about the things she has no business talking about, or she doesn't know anything about it. She's not gossiping. She's opening her mouth with wisdom. She says what she needs to say, and then she's quiet. You know, there are ladies out there that, like Brian said, they just that's all they do. You can't even get a word in edgewise. That's not what the scripture is teaching us to, as a godly woman, you as a woman, me as a man, to do. We are to say what we have to say and then be quiet. And say it with wisdom, say it with kindness, say it with grace. 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. A virtuous woman isn't idle, but finds something to do to keep busy, to bless those of her household. We understand, my mom used to say this, that idleness is the devil's workshop. And I think what she meant, and if I understand it right, it's saying people that are idle will get into all kinds of trouble. I've experienced that. I don't have much to do, then my mind, and I just start, I don't have a purpose, and therefore I get all kinds of distractions in my life, and I get all kinds of temptations that I didn't have if I was busy. So keep yourself busy. Make yourself busy. Do things for others. Get your mind off of yourself unto others, and I think, again, you will be healthier, you'll be happier, less depressed. Remember that Jewish doctor? Number 11, her husband and her children will rise up and bless and praise her. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. And he understands that there are a lot of virtuous women out there, but thou, his wife, excels them all. So this morning, if someone has made a mistake or made some bad decisions, that's not the end of the world. If you have maybe made some mistakes in your life, repent. You know, today is the best day to start new. Today is the best day to go forward serving the Lord and serving others. If we allow this to stop us, then Satan has gained the victory. But if we can go forward serving the Lord from this day forward, then God can receive the glory of your life and mine. I think we're just going to stand for prayer.